This week's interview is with Mircea from Nemic, the guitar player of Nemic and founding and one of the original members of the band. And Mircea, for my first question for you, what's Nemic doing and what are you guys up to right now?
Well, right now we just released a new album. It's called Nemesis. It's been out for a couple of days now, and we're doing promo right now for the album. The album was recorded in February this year with producer Tu Madsen, who's been working with The Haunted and Behemoth and a bunch of other bands. And right now we're actually planning on going on tour later this year and a bunch of other stuff, like shooting a video and so on. So lots of things in the cooking pan.
Well, Mircea, I really, really, really like this album, and I'm just curious how the response has been for you, because I was a huge, huge fan of Sons of the System, which was one of my top 10 albums in 2010, and talk about the response so far to your new album entitled Nemesis.
Well, the response has been very positive. I mean, there's always, you know, there's always pluses and minuses for each and every release. But this one, especially this one, has been really, really positive because we got a new lineup with this album. We got some new members in the band, and the whole style of the music, it's a bit different than what it used to be. But everybody's saying that it sounds like good old Nemic, so we're pretty happy about the outcome and the reviews that we're getting at the moment. But, you know, it's not that important. I mean, it is important to get good reviews, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's all about touring. It's all about playing shows and getting out, so...
Well, you mentioned touring, and you mentioned playing shows, and there's been a decrease in show attendance for many bands, at least. And have you seen any of that? Have people been, not as many people been showing up to shows, or, you know, has it really not affected you at all and you've been fine?
Well, basically, we kind of like, after we released the fourth album, I mean, we, on the third album, I think we toured constantly for 1 year, and it was pretty intense. It actually burned us out, so we kind of took a break from touring. We kind of took a break from the band, which was kind of not such a great idea in the end, because we should have kept going and going, but we were so burned out that we just couldn't do it anymore. And in the meantime, like within, let's say, from 2008 to 2010, technology has been rapidly evolving, and with this aspect in mind, you know, the abundance of music and content has been growing over the internet and so on, which means that a lot of new bands have, you know, come to the surface. And you see, like, a lot more bands touring nowadays. And, of course, there's not as many people to the shows as there used to be. You know, the best places to play nowadays is, like, festivals where you have a bundle of bands playing at the same place, and you can attract like a bunch of people. But you know, nowadays you could, like, the metal kids are spoiled, in my opinion. But I mean, you know, it's not their fault. It's like technology is basically changing the way we live. So we haven't been touring for like 2-3 years, and you know, we actually had our very first tour in May, right before the album got out, and it was with another band called Raunchy from Denmark, and it was really, really fun to get back out on the road. But you know, the shows were like 50-50. We didn't expect anything from it because we haven't been out on the road for a long time. But in some places they were really packed, and other places not so packed. So you know, it has its pros and cons. So yeah, it's quite hard to say, but I really think that you see so many bands touring out there nowadays. It's really hard to afford going to shows, especially when you have like larger packages. I mean, here in Denmark, at the end of the year, you got both like a band like Down coming into to the country. You have like Morbid Angel Creator and some other bands in another package. You've got Hatebreed coming, like. Bands are constantly touring, so it's like, how is that possible when the economy is so messed up nowadays, and mm-hmm. You know, kids probably don't have that much money yet. So it's really hard to say, but eventually you can't really do all, you can't come out to all the shows, so you have to prioritize depending on what you have in your pocket and so on.
Well, over the last couple of records, I've noticed your songwriting style. It's a little more diverse, some crazier time changes here and there, some other elements added into the music. And like I told you, you know, Sons of the System was one of my top 10 albums of the year a couple years back. And the biggest reason is because you really, as a band, the songwriting was just so much more diverse and so unique. And there was a big difference to me between Passenger and, say, Sons of the System, and I'm curious as to why you decided to go down this direction that adds more diversity to the music you're writing in and putting out on these albums right now.
Well, basically, we didn't really decide on, you know, going in a specific direction. It's more like, when we started the album, I was very, I was in a very turbulent period in my life at that point, and I needed the new guys to write with me, so we basically, we kind of like started writing from the heart. It wasn't like we planned it has to sound like this and like that. We just started to write, and the new guitar player, Victor, is a really talented musician, and he knows a lot more in regards to harmonies than I do, and he was really quick at coming up with ideas with harmonies and so on. Where I, on the other hand, I was like more looking into the whole production of the song, like the song, the overall structure of the songs. So basically, we ping-ponged ideas, and the result you can hear on the album. Basically, we weren't really saying like, oh, let's play these parts really technical, or you know, we molded something that felt right and good and sounded good. You know, we didn't really use a formula to do anything. Because on the last album, on the Sons of the System, we actually, we analyzed everything to death. I mean, we spent a year or something on composing those songs. And, you know, when you have too many chefs in the kitchen, not everybody can stir the pots and pans. And the more you stir it, you know, the more chaotic it becomes. In my opinion, I don't know. We had like I think 20 songs or something like that for the album, and you know, a couple of days ago, I actually listened to some of the demo songs that didn't make the Sons of the System album, and some of that stuff is actually quite good. So it depends on what kind of mind state you have on top of that. So from this, on this album, we kind of like we have new members that have to adapt to my writing style. I have to adapt to their writing style, and so on. And we just, kind of went with it, and the result you can hear on the new album.
Well, you titled the new album Nemesis, and my next question for you, is there any type of concept behind the lyrics on this album?
Well, it's like the usual sci-fi dystopian concept that is put into the album. It's basically like a critical standpoint towards technology and how it is changing our way to live, basically. It's also like something critical towards us as human beings being connected with computers every day, living behind screens. You know, it's something that creates like a superficial or an artificial life. And I'm really, really concerned, like, especially for younger kids that are connected to, especially, the social networking platforms such as Facebook. I think from an early age, it creates, like, relationship to other people. It creates the wrong relationship to other people because they do not get to interact physically. And when I say that, it's like they don't go out and play together, but instead they sit at home and start to have to compete about status updates. So that whole thing kind of like creates aggressive narcissists, and I'm not sure how that's going to shape when these kids will grow up later in life. I don't know, maybe it's a plus that they live behind a screen, but I remember when I was a kid, it was really fun to go out and play with other kids and, you know, interact face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So I think that might also maybe create some social problems later on in their lives. But, you know, I don't know. It's like it's like a question. Is technology that good at everything? You know, on top of this, you have like a mass abundance of information that you have to filter your way through. And as human beings, we have like really short attention span. And, you know, you have to find the good, you have to filter the good from the bad, and not everybody can do that. I mean, you know, it's like a spiral that creates stress. I mean, I know it from myself, you know, I'm answering emails, and, you know, I have like 40 to 50 emails per day, and yeah, that's pretty stressful. So, you know, technology has, of course, its pros and cons. It's really nice that we can communicate really fast, but at the same time, when can we say stop? You know, when can we leave the computer and, you know, do something else? So it's got a lot of views, but all in all, it's more like the dystopian future of what will become of humanity if we continue, you know, creating these things that attract us, like social network importance and, you know, being addicted to the internet and so on. So it's a little bit of sci-fi and dystopian.
Well, you know, talking about recording, and you and I, we talked a little bit about this right before the interview, but, you know, technology has really allowed almost pretty much anybody to record an album if they really want in their basement. And in a sense, to me, I think it makes things a little more diluted, because then you have, you know, 100,000 bands and, you know, maybe 500 of them are good. And my question for you is, you know, for the fact that the digital age has come around with this technology, it also has enabled these MP3s and things like that. And do you think this has made music more disposable to people because it's so readily accessed?
Well, I think, you know, it's a really good thing that we can download and share. I mean, I'm a very big fan of that. But, you know, as far as recording, you know, it's like, it depends on how you write your music. I mean, is the whole thing written on a computer, or is it written on a rehearsal space? Again, Did you interact with other fellow band members, or how, you know, how do you create all this? And, you know, not everybody is a good musician, and by editing, you know, by having the possibilities to edit so much and record so fast, you start to, you know, to create these productions. I mean, we already have a standard within music industry, you know, that some records have to sound like a certain type of, you know, they need to have a certain type of sound. Like, for instance, let me give you an example. Like, all the Lamb of God albums, to me, they almost sound the same in production. I mean, you know, if you take out, like, the first album. But, you know, again, like, Chris Adler records drums, you know, first he records with all, like, all the toms and the snare and kicks, but doesn't hit on the cymbals. All the cymbals are replaced by pillows. And then after that, he records the cymbals. So basically, he does like this two-layer recording, which in the end, you know, you have to edit. You have to put the cymbals on top of the drums and so on. And, you know, that band sounds so tight on an album, but when you hear them live, you know, they're not. They don't sound exactly 110% as on the album. Of course, it's digitalized. It's the way it has been recorded. So, yeah, you got your pros and cons. I mean, not everybody can sound like Led Zeppelin and so on. Again, it comes down to the purpose and to a bunch of other things. But, you know, there are pros and cons in this. But the con of it is that we can produce music much faster, but it's not about quality nowadays. It's more about quantity. Again, it's the abundance of information. You have to filter yourself through. There are many, many bands out there, but, you know, it's really hard to filter the good from the bad and so on. So, you know, you might have some really talented and good bands out there that will never get a chance to climb the ladder of success, mainly because of this abundance of content. So, you know, it's a long, long conversation and debate about it. So,
well, with so many other bands, and that's true, I agree with you, but with so many other bands out there, what ends up happening is that you dilute everything so much, like I mentioned before, and it's much harder for labels to really just get people to go in all in one direction. The internet has kind of diluted things to that point. And, you know, I know, would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, that's true. But I think, like, more, I don't know, the labels need to rethink their business model because the physical medium is disappearing. I mean, you see the market share within CD sales drops by 15-20% every year, and you see that, like, with big bands, with Mastodon, Opeth, Killswitch Engage, and so on. I'm just wondering when all of those big major bands will not sell records anymore, and, you know, the whole business platform has been changed. That's quite an interesting aspect, in my opinion. And what will the labels do, and so on. I mean, it was up to me, you know, I would, you know, have everybody in the world pay some extra dollars to their ISPs and, you know, take out the record labels and have the ISPs pay the artists in the end, you know, because, you know, the physical medium is disappearing. But that's kind of sad, too, because it's really cool to have, like, a booklet to read the lyrics and so on. So, again, it's like, it's not really that black and white. There's many contrasts in it.
Well, it seems to me that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you did a tour to promote your album. Now it seems like you put the album out because, you know, you put the album out because you want to use the album to promote your tour. And that's what it seems like it's coming to these days.
Yeah, something like that.
So? Well,
yeah, you have to play really fast. Have the tour put out albums. It's like, you have to constantly be in the news feeds, and that's really stressful because I'm not sure if, you know, that actually creates quality, but, you know, in the end it creates more quantity.
Well, one thing that always intrigues me, you guys are a band from Denmark, and you don't really hear Denmark on the map as far as heavy metal goes. You always think of Germany, and, you know, you basically think of Germany these days when it comes to metal. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of some of the Danish bands. You know, for example, I really love the band Artillery, bands like the Pretty Maids, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, obviously King Diamond came from there. And what's the metal scene like over in Denmark? Maybe talk a bit about that and what it's like for you over there.
Well, you know, the country is really small, and when you have the country as small as Denmark, you know everybody in the business. The problem is, like, the quality of the music isn't that great. We don't really have, like, pioneers within the music. I mean, we started out back in the 80s with, you know, King Diamond, Merciful Fate, Artillery, and so on, and, you know, from there on it started with the death metal scene, with the thrash scene, and, you know, we don't really have any bands from Denmark except for, like, a band like Volbeat, but I'm not really sure if I can categorize that as metal. But that's the only band that actually got signed to a major label and is still playing some sort of a rock-oriented metal. On top of that, you have a bunch of other smaller bands that are trying really hard, but the problem is that, you know, you can't draw more than, like, 150 people per show. Country's small, but if you have, like, you know, Fear Factory coming into your town, or Devin Townsend, they'll draw, like, 400-500 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have Down coming, they'll draw, like, around 1,000 or 1,200.
Mm-hmm.
So, the quality, I wouldn't say the quality is what it used to be, without sounding too arrogant, but because I think these bands really are talented, but I'm not sure what they lack. I'm not sure if it's the competition all over the globe, and I'm not sure if it's, you know, again, technology, too many bands, too much content, and, you know, maybe the good bands can't really penetrate that bubble, so.
You know, it always seems like in Germany that, you know, the music does really well there, and, you know, have you guys done well over in Germany, and, you know, maybe talk a bit about the rest of Europe and, you know, how the scene's like over there for you.
Well, for the rest of Europe, I mean, I'm not sure how well we're doing. I mean, we used to sell more records in the U.S., actually, but since we stopped touring there because it got really, really exhausting, we're actually looking forward to be coming back to the U.S. and see what we can do there. Mm-hmm. As far as Europe, it's like there are pluses and minuses depending on which market you're in. Germany depends on which city, but, yeah, I mean, you know, we've played to around, like, 300-400 people at one show and another show we played like for 70 people. So it depends on in which area you are, where the tour is booked, and so on. So yeah, I think we're doing okay, but you know, for me, it's never been enough. I want more.
Well, Nemec is in the opposite situation that many other European bands find themselves in, or even American metal bands find themselves in. They find that they're pretty big in Europe, but you know, they don't really have much of an audience in the U.S., but that's the opposite for you. And what is it about the U.S. that has really broadened your fan base and really got you a following here?
I think it's because we're from Europe, and you know, I have no idea. I guess... I don't know, American people are more interested in European metal, but I have no idea, I can't really say what it is.
The lineup in the band has obviously changed over the last couple years, and last 2, 3, 4, 5 years maybe, and you've obviously shuffled, you know, some members in and out, and... You know, with the current lineup, let's talk a little bit about where you found many of these guys, how you found them, and obviously you have to have the right musical chemistry to find them, but maybe talk about getting some of these newer members into your band and go from there.
Yeah, basically, we have a new guitar player. His name is Victor Salmonson. He's basically a super talented musician. He used to do session work for us. He used to be a session guitarist for us whenever the other guitar player couldn't come on tour. And he comes from a band called Vira, which is like a Gent hybrid kind of thing. Meshuggah wannabe band, just like our band. No, just kidding. Yeah, I mean, he was a perfect fit because, you know, we already knew him, we knew what he could, he was a fan of the band, and everything pretty much, I mean, all fingers pretty much pointed at him. So, he got into the band, and once he got into the band, he actually introduced the drummer from Vira, his former band, which was, you know, which was also a fan of Nemec, and... It was pretty much the same as for Victor. His name is Brian Larson, and we're very happy about him. I mean, both of them, they're really cool guys. And third guy is Simone Bertozzi. He's the new bass player. Actually, last year in April, we toured in Italy, and we had this support band called Imperius with us, and we got to know him on that tour, and basically we became really good friends, and... You know, we couldn't really think of someone else to actually join the band. So we got into the band, and he's a really cool guy. You know, we share the same ideas. We share the same passion for music, and especially death metal as well. So everything's good.
When you're songwriting, out of curiosity, because I see some similarities, is Fear Factory an influence on you guys?
Oh, they used to be like Fear Factory, Meshuggah, and Striking Young Lad. Those were like the three main influences when we started the band. But not really anymore, you know. We're more, I mean, I don't really get inspired by those bands anymore. It's not like, you know, I already know what they can do. And, you know, it was more like their way of thinking in terms of composing and incorporating music that really inspired me as a musician, mainly also to write music for Nemec. But that's like 10 years ago. So, you know, nowadays I'm inspired by, I don't know, by anything other than those bands. So.
Well, my last question for you, the last question I give everybody on this show, and do you have anything you want to say to all of the metal fans in the U.S. that who are obviously fans of you guys, do you have anything to say to them? Any last words for them?
Well, please do check out the new album, and please do go buy it, because our record label will become really happy, and so will we. And we hope that we can be back out on the U.S. road next year to play some old tunes as well as new tunes, and we hope to see as many people as possible, because it's been way, way too long. So, thank you very much.